morning. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Good. Well, for you that don't know me, I'm Luke, and I go to Liberty University, but I grew up here in Galax, and this is my home church, and I miss it when I'm not here, but now I'm here, so I'm going to play some songs, and we're just going to worship together this morning. It's going to be relayed back, so if you guys would stand with us. Standing here in your presence, thinking of the good things you have done, waiting here patiently just to hear your still small voice again. Holy, righteous, faithful to the end, Savior, Healer, Redeemer and friend. I will worship you for who you are. I will worship you for who you are. I will worship you for who you are, Jesus. Presence, thinking of the good things you have done, waiting here patiently just to hear your still small voice again. Holy, righteous, faithful to the end, Savior, Healer, Redeemer and friend. I worship you. Will take a second and greet the person next to you.
Good morning. How is everybody this morning? Good? Well, it's great to have you here. Beautiful outside. It's warm and fuzzy inside. We're going to worship this morning and get a good message and kind of get plugged in and filled up with God this morning. Does that sound good? Does it sound good?
Yeah.
Does it sound good? Yeah. All right. That's what we like to hear. All right. We're going to go over some announcements here right quick. That's the bouncer back there in the back. I can tell. If I gets rowdy, he'll bounce on him. All right, let's look at the announcements right quick. The youth will meet tonight. We'll be having a meeting of all those who serve with Cornerstone Kids and anyone who is interested in serving after the second service today. Lunch will be provided. Now, let me emphasize something here. Lunch will be provided, okay? Lunch will be provided. So if you want to come and be a part of the children's service and everything, if you have some questions about it, that'd be a good time to come. All right, the community meal is Wednesday, April the 30th, and it'll be taco night. So that'll be great. So sign up for that to help out with it. Bring some things that are items needed. What is next Sunday? It's Super Sunday for Christians. That's what it is. I mean, this is what we're here for. Christ has risen. He's part of our lives. It's our Super Bowl. It's Christian Super Sunday. So we've got to be excited. So I've got to ask all of you a favor right quick. Usually on Easter Sunday morning, we have a whole lot of people who come into the churches and things of this sort that don't normally come on a regular basis. I need every one of you to be an ambassador for Christ. So when they are here, if you see someone that you don't know, you see a new face or something, make them feel welcome. Reach out to them. Shake their hand. Ask their name. Tell them who you are. And make them feel comfortable here, because we want to find as many people who wants to come to know Christ to come and to learn more about him. So can everybody do that for me? Are you promised? Because I'll look you up. All right. All right, Easter Sunday. Now, we got some things going on Easter Sunday. We're going to have a sunrise service here at the church at 7:15. Now, if any of you have an almanac, you know the sun gets up slightly before that. But we felt like we might have better attendance if we had it at 7:15. A lot of people don't get up well and do before dark, okay? Not mentioning any names. But you're sitting there thinking, is he talking about me? Lori? All right, now, breakfast will be at 8 a.m. So if anybody would like to help with breakfast and everything, be here for the sunrise service, and we'll kind of go down. We're going to have some pancakes and some sausage patties and some things like that and everything downstairs in the community room. So if you'd like to help with that, be here early. If you have flat griddles, because we do the pancakes and stuff like that, bring those. Contact me. I'm going to kind of be the one kind of in charge and putting all that together and everything, and have breakfast, okay? Regular services will be at 9:15 and 11. All right, everybody see this card? These cards are for you to fill out. Well, not to fill out, but it's a message for you. So get these out and take a look at them. And if you can, invite someone to come to church. This is for to be passed out. Also this week, the Galax Ministerial Association has Holy Week services. Every day at lunchtime, there will be a service that is going to be going on around the lunchtime. Mike's going to be speaking at Monday. Luke, you and Abby's going to be doing music on Monday? No? Where did I read that at? But anyway, if you get a chance and you have lunch in the area, you might want to try doing that. Also, we have coming up on May 10th, Cody Messner lives up in Troutdale, got a beautiful area and a farm up there. We're going to kind of have a men's retreat, a kind of a father-son event, and it's going to be a shooting queue. Now, we're not going to go out and shoot queues. What we're going to do, we're going to have a shooting contest and some things like that. We're going to have a barbecue. It's going to be a day of men's devotion. So if you like to shoot guns and make a lot of noise and everything, you might want to attempt to come to this. It's on May 10th. It's going to be from 12:30 to 6:30. And you can go on to our website and learn more about it. This will be posted right over here if you want to get some more information and details of where it's at and things of this sort. But it's going to be a day of men's devotion, a father-son type event, or just get together in good fellowship for men. I appreciate it. Appreciate everybody this morning. So let us pray right quickly. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll be with us this morning, that you open our minds and our hearts, and we might receive the message and apply it to our lives and to live better lives for you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
All right, guys, we're going to do a song called Manifesto, if you guys could stand up. We've done this song at Uprising. We did it a lot at Wayfair Camp for the youth that know, but it requires participation, which is difficult for some, not mentioning any names. But we're going to go through the chorus really quickly. It just says one word. It says amen over and over and over again. And if you guys would sing with us. Goes like this.
Amen.
Selflessness and peace, my fate was surely sealed until he rescued me. His pardon for my sin, his bounty for my need, from slavery and shame I am redeemed. Living can't contain the glory of the Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. His love has made a way. The grave is overcome. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. No fear can hold me down. No darkness steal my joy. Death could not hold him down. The cross was not enough to steal away his love. For he is God, and heaven can contain the glory of the Son. Jesus is the Christ, the saving one. His love is made a way.
Worship you today, and I pray that you help us to just be honest and be open with each other and to be able to just surrender ourselves to you, Lord. And I pray that you just give us peace in any situation that we have and wisdom to be able to deal with it. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe, we believe. Generation, when all is done.
Thank you for today. Lord, I pray for Pastor Mike as he comes up and speaks. Lord, thank you for your glory. God, I thank you that we can share in that. Lord, I pray that we could just be images of Christ, Lord, to glorify you. Amen.
The next day, the great crowd that had gathered heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." This crowd praised him. They celebrated his miracles and with great expectation told everyone about him. But they did not know him. They were waiting for someone who would rule with strength and might, but he came as a humble servant. They wanted him to finally bring their people glory, but he wanted to change them so their lives would bring God glory. They were expecting a general who would crush their enemies, but he came saying, "Love your enemies." They thought he could offer them deliverance from their oppressors, but he came offering deliverance from sin. This crowd would soon realize that Jesus wasn't gonna be what they wanted, and they turned on him before they ever realized he was what they needed. So as they yelled, "Crucify!" Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you a king?" Jesus answered, "I am not that kind of king. His kingdom isn't what you see here. It won't be established by chaos and war. His kingdom is in our hearts. His kingdom is truth. His kingdom is goodness. His kingdom is righteousness. He is the humble king, the king of healing, the king of forgiveness, the king of love. Today, we lift our voices. We cry, Hosanna, save us. Save us from our sin. Come dwell in our hearts. Hosanna, we worship you. Jesus Christ, our King."
I don't know if you caught the theme so far this morning through the service, but did you notice everything was all about Jesus? And that's really what we're talking about this morning. We're in this series called Foundations, and we're talking about going back to the basics of our faith, knowing that what we believe, why we believe it, and it's kind of interesting, I think, sometimes to kind of strip away everything, get back to the basics of the faith. Now, last week, my wife wasn't able to be here. My younger son was sick, and my daughter weren't here, so she stayed home with them. And so when we got home, Luke, my older son, who was back here playing guitar, he was telling about last week's service, and this is kind of interesting. My family keeps me humble. He said, "Y'all really didn't miss much." Said it's kind of boring. He said, "All Dad did was just tell everybody why they should believe the Bible." And he's like, "We already believe the Bible." He said, "It's not like he was talking to a room full of atheists." He said, "So all we were doing is telling everybody that believes the Bible why they should believe the Bible." And so, you know, I thought, well, you kind of have a point there, but maybe kind of miss the nuance here. Sometimes, yes, we talk about things you maybe already agree in or believe in or know about. But we have to get to the point, not where we just know it. We have to get to the point where we live it. And we have to get to the point where we can explain it to others. And so to get to the point in our faith where not just we know about something, or we know we could, know a few of the details about it, or where we get to the point where we believe it to the point where it changes the way we live. And so last week, as we talked about the foundation of God's word is our authority in life, that's huge importance in our life. And we've got to get to that point to understand that so we can move forward, so we can explain it to others. And this week, we're going to talk about Jesus. And it's kind of a two-part series. You'll get the first part this morning and the second part next week on Easter morning. Now, this is Palm Sunday. The Sunday that we traditionally acknowledge and talk about when Jesus comes into Jerusalem and people are shouting and worshiping Hosanna, you know, and they're all excited about Jesus entering into the city. And here's what I would say about Palm Sunday that we need to think about. Palm Sunday is a day that shows that many who claim to believe in Jesus really don't. That's what Palm Sunday is about. Many who would stand up and shout and praise God and worship Him and say, "Oh, Jesus is the best thing ever." Many people who would claim that really don't believe it. And we see that in the story of the resurrection, the story of the week leading up to the death and burial and resurrection of Christ. We see that many, those same people who were shouting and praising Jesus, the same people who were lifting up His name and shouting Hosanna, were the same ones who were later yelling, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." And so when things didn't turn out the way they expected, they turned their back on the God who created them. And I see that, unfortunately, I think that's a parallel to what happens many times in the church and in people and in our culture and society today. People have this predetermined, this idea, preconceived notion about how things in life should turn out. So when things don't turn out the way they expect, what happens? They get mad. They turn their back on God. And you see them walk away from church. You see them walk away from Jesus. We see them turn their backs on the very God who loves them and cares for them. And that's the danger that we all face. If we don't have a firm foundation, when the trials of life come, then we find ourselves in trouble. And so there are times when things don't make sense in life. There are times when things don't turn out the way we think they should. And those are the times when we cannot blame God. And we can't walk away. But it's those times when we can stand firm in our faith, holding on to the hope we have in Jesus Christ to pull us through every situation in life. And that's why it's so important to understand who Jesus is and why he came. The disciple John, he kind of summarizes why the Gospels were written. And the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, they're really all about the life of Jesus. So we can learn who Jesus is, what he did, and we can learn about his life. And the Gospels kind of give us a first-person story, I mean, an eyewitness story of who Jesus is. And this is what John says in chapter 20, verse 31, and verse 30 and 31. It says, Jesus, he performed many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not even recorded in the book. There's so many, they couldn't even fit them into the book, but these are just an overall summary of what Jesus did. And get verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So why do we have the story of the life of Jesus? It's so that we may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the one who is sent to save us, and so that by believing we may have life in his name. That's why we exist, and that's why we get together. That's why we can talk about Jesus at church and not grow tired of talking about Jesus. But the world looks at it and thinks we're crazy sometimes. Why is that? Just step back and think with me for a minute. Think about if somebody came to you and said, I've got a story to tell you. It's about it's about this guy who was born, but he was kind of born supernaturally because his mom was Mary, but the dad was really God. It was kind of a virgin birth and kind of a miracle birth. And not only that, but this guy grew up and he never made any mistakes. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. He always knew the right thing to say and the right thing to do. And not only that, he was fully God and yet he was fully man. And not only that, but this guy, he could perform miracles. He could do anything in nature. He could make things happen and he could do anything. And not only that, he could read people's minds and he knew what they were thinking before they even said it. And if somebody came up to you and told you that story, what would you tell them? You'd say, wait a minute. I mean, think of if we step outside of our Christian bubble for a minute, somebody came up to you and told you a story like that. You're like, okay, are you okay? Are you feeling all right? And so maybe when we step back a little bit and we look at the life of Jesus and we can kind of start realizing that the message we're sharing with the world, we can understand why they're skeptical because it's hard. It's not an easy message to accept. It's not something that we can just, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, great. No, I mean, the truth is that as we learn more about God through Jesus and we learn who God is and why he sent Jesus and the Holy Spirit starts working in our life, it's then when the pieces start falling together and start making sense. It's then when we allow God to speak into us and start transforming us that everything starts coming together and making sense. I think our danger is we expect people who have never heard the gospel to understand it completely the first time they hear it. And so we've got to remember that when we talk about Jesus, it's not just, hey, do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You know, and kind of that, you know, it's getting them to understand who Jesus is and why he came. And that's really my goal, my purpose this morning. We all have to face the question that the very disciples faced. And we see this over in Matthew 16. very similar to how we are now, is that people talk about Jesus, but who really is Jesus? Is he just a good teacher? Is he just a good guy? Or is he really the Son of God? Is he really God in the flesh? In Matthew 16, we see when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And so he's asking his disciples just a very pointed question here. Okay, people are talking. There's all this talk going on about who I am. What are people saying? What's the rumor on the street? Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And Jesus kind of said, okay, that's what people are saying. Now, what do you say? And see, we can sit here all day long and talk about what the people outside the church think about Jesus, but the question ultimately comes down to, who do you say that Jesus is? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone. And so very early on, we see Jesus confronting his disciples and bringing them to a decision point. Okay, no matter what everybody else says, who do you say? Who do you say that I am? And that's the question that we have to wrestle with. It's the question that we have to struggle with, and we have to come to our own conclusion. Who do you say that Jesus is? It would be a little bit easier if Jesus kind of walked in and sat here with us, and we could say, hey, Jesus, let me ask you a few questions. And I think most of us, we would probably put Jesus through an interrogation process, right? I mean, we'd say, okay, now, you said this. Now, I don't understand that. Prove it to me. You know, we would like, if we had Jesus sitting here, we could ask, and we'd probably have a little bit better feeling about who he is. But we don't have that luxury because he's not here in the flesh right now. But we do have the Holy Spirit working in us. But the thing is, sometimes we need to understand that we need to see God at work. We need to see the results of what he's doing in the lives of others. There's a story about a little girl who got scared one night, and she was trying to go to sleep, and she was in bed, and she said, Mommy, I'm scared. And her mom said, don't be afraid. I'm right across the hall. And you know how the story ends. The little girl comes running in, jumps into the bed with her mom and dad, and she says, I'm still scared. And her mom says, you don't need to be afraid. Just close your eyes and pray. And you need to remember that Jesus is always with you. And so she pauses a little bit, and then she says, but Mommy, she said, sometimes, I right now, I just need Jesus with skin on. And we need that, don't we? I mean, sometimes you can say Jesus is right here with you. He's going to give you the strength. But sometimes we need some Jesus with skin on. And that's where the church comes into play. That's when we start living out the life of Christ. Christ lives through us and uses us to accomplish his purpose and his will. And so as we talk about Jesus this morning, I want you to be Jesus with skin on to this world around us. And so as we go out this week and we think about Easter next week and we think how many people are receptive to somebody inviting them to come to church, you can be Jesus with skin on. You can invite them. You can share with them what God is doing. And so this morning, I just want to give you the encouragement to do that, to be Jesus with skin on. A few points this morning to help us understand this. The first thing, we kind of got to go back to last week. We're building block by block here. The first thing, Jesus equals the Word of God, and Jesus equals God. And we need to understand this. It's not just the red letters that are important in the Bible. And I've heard people say that, oh man, this is red letters. This is really important. That's not really true, because every word in Scripture, as we talked about last week, is inspired, and it's important. It's God-breathed, and it's there for a reason. So really, we've got to get to the place where we can say we can trust the Bible because it is the Word of God. It's interesting. I came across a George Barna study this week, And it came out like Tuesday or Wednesday, and it was just what we were talking about last week. And in it, it said this. It said, the number of those who are now skeptical or agnostic toward the Bible, who believe that the Bible is just another book of the teachings written by men that contain stories and advice, has nearly doubled from 10% to 19% in just the last 3 years. This is now equal to the number of people who are biblically engaged, who read the Bible at least four times a week and believe it's the actual inspired word of God. And so he digs into it a little bit deeper and finds that two-thirds of those that are skeptical are 48 years old or younger. So what he gets and he kind of makes the conclusion, makes the point, is that our younger generation is growing up in a world that views the Bible with skepticism. They look at it and they say, I don't really believe it. And it's not really an authority in my life. It doesn't really change how I live my life. Another study I ran across this week is really interesting. This is on a slightly different source. It's on Christian Mingle. I wasn't using it. It was a Christian dating site. I just saw it pop up in my newsfeed. I'm like, whoa, this is interesting here. Christian dating sites. And so, you know, you can kind of, anyway, it's interesting. They did a survey of people, of Christians using Christian dating sites. I'll just read it. It says a majority of single Christians are now rejecting biblical doctrine by choosing to have sex before they're married. 61% of self-identified Christian singles who answered a recent Christian Mingle survey said they're willing to have casual sex without being in love, while only 11% they are waiting until they are married. You see, what we are looking at is a generation, a culture, a society who rejects biblical truth. And because they reject biblical truth, they're also rejecting not just the Word of God, they're rejecting the God of the Word. And that's scary to look at. We're living in a world where people say, I know what the Bible says, but yet I don't really want to live my life by it. I really don't want to put it into practice in my life. And I really want to live life my way. I don't care what God says. And so when we start saying, we've got to understand, when the Bible speaks, it's God speaking. Jesus is the Word. How do we know that? John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So here we see a connection between the Word of God and the person of God. In the beginning was the Word. And John uses the Greek word logos to describe Jesus in the beginning. It specifically means the spoken Word. God in the beginning was the Word. Jesus was the Word of God in the flesh. He speaks to us. He spoke to those around Him. He was God in the flesh walking among mankind. And so when we see this, we understand that from the very beginning, Jesus was there. That Jesus not only was there, He was God. And that kind of starts giving us the picture of this Trinity, God in three persons, yet all distinct, but yet one. And so we see this picture, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all one, but yet working together to change us. And so this morning, what I want to do, I want us to really think about who Jesus is. I want us to think about why it's important. If you got your Bibles, flip over to Colossians 1. And this is the passage I really want to zero in on. I want to focus on this morning. Colossians chapter 1. And it's a passage where Paul is kind of confronting some false teaching in the church. You have a group of people who were saying, well, Jesus didn't really come in the flesh. He was kind of a spirit. And so they were denying the humanness of Jesus, and so they were, you know, and so Paul is having to confront that. But at the same time, you had others who were denying the deity of Jesus, who were saying, "Well, Jesus wasn't really fully God." And so we have this a culture that's denying that Jesus was fully God and that Jesus was fully man, very similar to the culture we live in today. In verse 11, I'll pick it up, and it says, and this is my prayer for you guys too. This is Paul. He said, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all of His glorious power so that you will have the endurance and patience you need. May you also be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. And so already we're seeing here that Paul's prayer is that they would have endurance, that they would have patience, they would have joy, they would have thankfulness. Because this world we live in is tough. It's not easy. We need endurance. We need patience. We need joy. All these things we need. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness. He's transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. And so we can start understanding here the reason that we can have endurance, the reason we can have patience and joy and thankfulness is because we've been rescued. We've been taken out of darkness and we've been put into God's kingdom, into the light. And so that's my prayer for us this morning. And that we can realize why this is so important to know who Jesus is. We have been rescued. We've been rescued. Just think about where God has brought you from. And as a, you know, you look out at a church this size, we've got all sorts of stories, all sorts of background, all sorts of things that have happened in our past. And God has brought us from darkness into light. A few things I want to talk about out of this passage in Colossians 1. First thing is that Jesus, we need to realize, who is Jesus? Jesus is the Lord of creation. He's the Lord of creation. And verse 15 says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Again, going back to John 1:1, we see the parallel here. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see. He made the things we cannot see, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all of creation together. And so think about this. The creator of the universe, he's holding everything together. Jesus is the glue that holds all of this together. A few things in this passage we need to realize. One, this passage reveals the Father. In verse 15, it says, Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. So how do we know what God is like? We can look at Jesus. Again, he was God with skin on. And when Jesus, he was in the flesh, Jesus walked among people. And so Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. The Greek word for image here is interesting. It's the Greek word icon. And same root word where we, on your phones, you know, all these little buttons on your screen, you know, all these little pictures, what are they called? Icons. Why? Because they're representative of what this program is about. So they're kind of a picture. They're kind of an image that gives you, that lets you know what this is all about. That's the same terminology Paul is using here. Christ is the icon. He's the image for God. If we want to know what God like, let's look to Jesus. If we want to know the character of God, let's look to Jesus. If we want to know what God would do in a situation, let's look to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is God in the flesh. He's the visible image of an invisible God. And so through that, we can look to Jesus to understand God the Father. And so we see that through this passage, that the Father, God the Father, is revealed. Not only that, we see that Jesus is the ruler over all of creation. And I talk about creation because it's important. I cannot believe that this world we live in, that we are here by a cosmic accident. I just cannot believe that. And here's why this is so important. Follow with me here. If there's no creation, if we're just kind of things just appeared and things just happened, God wasn't involved. If there's no creation, that means there's no Adam and Eve, right? There's no Adam and Eve, there's no Garden of Eden, right? There's no Garden of Eden, there's no serpent and the apple and the fall of mankind into sin. Why is that important? If there's no fall, then there's no need for Jesus. You see why everything kind of ties together here. This is why creation is so important. God was, the Bible is not just the story of the life of Jesus. It's the story of God's plan for all of humanity. From the creation and the fall to the rescue and the restoration. We see God at work from the pages of Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation. We see Jesus. We see our need for Jesus. We see why he came. We see how he rescued us. And we see now how he's empowering us to live for him until he comes again. And so the whole Bible is about Jesus. And so if we say Genesis 3 is a myth, then that means that John 3 is a myth as well. And that's why it's so important to understand that God is the creator of this world we live in, that Jesus is the ruler of all creation, as Colossians 1 talks about. And, in verse 17, it says he holds all creation together. And so Jesus is just holding this world we live in together until he returns again for us. We've got to understand, Jesus is this Lord of creation. He's over creation. He was part of creation. He created this world we live in. He created us, and he's holding it all together. Not only that, but he's also, Jesus is the head of the church. And this is important as well, that we see from this passage, that we understand this. In verse 18, Colossians 1, it says, Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning and supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first. He is preeminent in everything. So let me ask you the question here. Who rules the church? Is it the pastor? Is it the elders? Or is it deacons? Who is over the church here at Cornerstone? It's Jesus. And the thing that causes trouble in so many churches, and you'll read all the time about churches and maybe a leadership change or a controversy or something happens and the church falls apart. If a church is built on a personality, if the church is built around someone on the payroll, then when that person's gone, what happens? They're in trouble. If the church is built on Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter who's standing up here and preaching and teaching. God's in control. And we've got to understand that as a church, that this church is not built on me. It's not built on the elders. It's built around Jesus Christ. And we're going to keep preaching Jesus. We're going to keep teaching Jesus. It doesn't matter who's up here. If they're talking about Jesus, they're doing a great job. Right? And so we've got to come to that understanding together that Jesus is the head of the church. Why does the church exist? Jesus. Why do we do what we do? Jesus. And you just fill in the blank. Why? Jesus. That explains who we are. That explains our mission. That explains our vision. That explains our purpose as a church. It's all about Jesus. It's about his glory. It's about his honor. It's about his purpose. It's about his plan. It's about what he's doing through us to make us more like Jesus. And the great thing about that is that means you don't have to go to me when you need to talk to Jesus. Now, if you have a problem in life, sometimes people say, hey, Mike, I've got to tell you about this. And that's fine. We'll pray with you. We'll help you. But you know what's even better than calling me up? Taking it before the God of the universe and talking with him personally. He cares about you so much that you have direct access to the God of the universe. Think about that. The God who created you wants to have a relationship with you and wants to talk with you. So that, look in a passage like Hebrews 4, it talks about that. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who's ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one. He's been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. So let us then approach the God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and we may find grace to help us in our time of need. So what we see right here, in our time of need, who do we go to? Jesus. Because we can talk to Jesus. You don't have to go through me. You don't have to go through the church to talk to Jesus, because I'm not the head of the church. Jesus is. And so we see Jesus, he's the Lord of creation. We see Jesus is the head of the church. And so this church is not about our preferences. It's not about our comfort. It's not about our entertainment. It's all about Jesus. And if he's the head of the church, then he's got every right to interrupt our plans, to interrupt our life, and to do whatever he wants. Amen? So Jesus is the Lord of creation, he's the head of the church, and Jesus is our Savior. This is where it starts getting good. Jesus is our Savior. Verse 19, for God in all of his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You are his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you into his own presence. Get this. You are holy and you are blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. This is the glorious. This is incredible. This is the good news of the gospel, that we can stand before God holy and blameless without fault. The one who made everything we look at, every seed, every tree, every plant, the one who made every sunrise, every star in the sky, the one who made it all, he loved us so much that he died for us. That he came to the cross and that he took every bit of the sin and the shame upon himself. He didn't have to do that, but he did because he loves you that much. Think about this in a minute. In this passage, it talks about Jesus reconciling people to himself. What does that word reconcile mean? If you look it up in the dictionary, it defines reconciliation this way. It's the restoration of friendship and fellowship after an estrangement. And in other words, it's making peace with someone when a wrong has been done. And for us, a wrong has been done before God because we have sinned. We have disobeyed God. We have fallen short of his plan, of his glory, of his honor. We have worshiped ourselves instead of worshiping God. And so all have sinned. We have done wrong before God. And now God has provided a way where we can be made right with him. We can be reconciled, where that relationship can be restored. Imagine standing before God and saying, and having to give account of every single thing that's happened in your life and say, yes, I said that. Yeah, I did that. That was me. Yep. Yeah, that's what I thought. I hid that. I told that lie. I hurt that person. Imagine standing before a holy and a righteous God, laying all of your sin out. Sobering thought, isn't it? Scary thought. You know what this passage in Colossians tells us, though? What God does, scoops it all up. And he says, you know, now, because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of his blood was poured out for you, because of the forgiveness you have in him, you can stand before me. All this stuff I've taken care of. You're holy. You're blameless. The passage here is in verse 22. It says, he has reconciled you by Christ's body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. We are holy in his sight. We are set apart. We are declared holy by God. We are without a single fault, without a blemish. This is the terminology that the Old Testament used to talk about the sacrifices that were made. They had to be blameless. They had to be without a blemish. They had to be perfect, and that's how Christ views us now. Because we are in him. We have been forgiven. We are free from accusation. In other words, nobody can stand and say, but you've got to be held accountable for this. You did this and you're going to pay the price. And Jesus steps in and says, I paid the price. I took your sin upon myself. I took your shame upon myself. I took your guilt, your condemnation. Everything that you've done is now on me. Because why? Because God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so when we talk about the story of Easter and we talk about the cross and the resurrection, honestly, guys, it's a messy, gory, ugly story because in that story, all of our sin is exposed for what it is. Sin against God. But yet, the glorious part of the story is that Christ takes it all upon himself. And through that, we have forgiveness and we can stand holy in his sight. Jesus. That's what this morning's all about. It starts with Jesus. It ends with Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's why we exist. And I hope you never grow tired of talking about Jesus. I hope you don't go home and say, you know, that's kind of boring. All we did, talk about Jesus. That's probably what I'm going to hear when I get home. I hope you don't say that, because when we talk about Jesus, if we can get excited about anything as a church, shouldn't it be Jesus? When we think about what he did for us, we think about how we've been moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, how we were once sinners and now we're forgiven and holy in his sight. If there's one thing we can get excited about, it's got to be Jesus. And so I don't want to share about Jesus just to build up your knowledge about him, but to build up your obedience in him. And so when we learn about Jesus, it should move us into deeper and deeper levels of obedience. Colossians 3, if we skip ahead a chapter, it says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. So as we learn more about Christ, he starts ruling in our hearts. And as we start living it out, for as members of one body, you're called to live in peace. It affects how we live. Be thankful. Let the message of Christ and all of its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. It's a picture of a church service, isn't it? When we get together. I don't know about you. I was so blessed just watching the worship team this morning. And thinking that we've got Luke from college singing with us. We've got two of our teenagers, young teens at that. We've got two of our adults all just coming together and just praising God together. That's awesome. We're encouraging each other. We're singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankful hearts. We're letting the word of Christ dwell richly in our hearts. That just think about that. Think about what Christ has done for you and the impact that Christ has had on your life. We can sing. We can praise God for that. Wayne Grudem writes, he said, in the person of Jesus, God physically entered into our world. An infinite God came to live in a finite world. The one who knew exactly how things were supposed to be came to a place where things obviously weren't. In Jesus, God and man became one person, a person unlike anything else the world has ever seen or will ever see. Jesus Christ was and forever will be fully God and fully man in one person. And that one person changed the course of human history. So a pastor in Los Angeles back in the early 1900s named James Francis. He wrote a book called The Real Jesus. And in that book, he had just a poem that was kind of placed in that book. And it really wasn't noticed till long after his death. But it was called One Solitary Life. And in it, he says, he's talking about Jesus, and he says, he was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another obscure village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30 when public opinion turned against him. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never went to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things usually associated with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through a mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While dying, his executioners gambled for his clothing, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 centuries, now 20 centuries, have come and gone. And today, Jesus is the central figure of the human race and the leader of mankind's progress. All the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever sailed, all the parliaments that have ever sat, all the kings that have ever reigned put together have not affected the life of mankind on earth as powerfully as this one solitary life. It's amazing. You think about the impact Jesus has had on us personally, on this world we live in. One single solitary life forever changed the course of history because he was fully God and he was fully man. That's why we want you to invite everyone you can to be here next week, because we're going to keep talking about this. We're going to keep talking about Jesus. My question for you this morning is simply this. First, do you know Jesus? It's where it starts. That's the question the disciples have to answer. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus is? Do you know Jesus? Is he your Lord and your Savior? And the second question is, if you know him, do you follow him? You see, there's a connection between knowing and being saved and then obeying. Do you follow Jesus? In Colossians 1:23, the last verse for this morning, it says, but you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. We're talking about foundations here. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. Are you standing firm? No matter what comes your way in life, can you stand firm in Christ because of what he's done for you? Do you know Jesus? If you do, he is a firm foundation. He's your solid rock. No matter what happens in this world around you, you can count on Jesus. He'll get you through it. He'll be there for you because he is your Lord. He is your Savior. He's your friend. And then this morning, that's just simply our challenge. Do you know him? And if you do, do you follow him? Would you guys pray with me this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, this morning as we've talked about Jesus, just the importance of knowing who Jesus is and knowing what he has done, just acknowledging him as the Lord, the Savior, our friend. May you just encourage us to continue walking in your ways. Lord, just my prayer for each person in this room that they could answer that question, who do you say that I am? That they would be able to say, you are my Savior. You are my friend. While every head is bowed in this place, I just want to ask you a question this morning. How many of you can say, Mike, with certainty, I know that if I died today, I know based on the authority of God's word, I know because I've repented of my sin, I know that because I've trusted Christ, because his spirit, it bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. I know that if I died today, I would go straight to heaven. If you can answer that, would you just raise your hand and say amen? Just absolutely amen. See, there's hands raised all over the place. And that's wonderful. And you can put your hands down. And with every head bowed, the reason I asked that question, because I wanted you to consider it. If you were here this morning and you couldn't lift your hand, I just want to challenge you to talk to God this morning. Just to enter into a relationship with the Lord of creation. The God who created you wants to have a relationship with you. And so this morning, if you're here and God has spoken to your heart today, would you just pray with me? Would you just enter into this time of prayer and worship with me, just acknowledging who God is? And just, I can help you pray, but I can't help you believe. It's got to be from your heart this morning. Would you just say, God, I am so thankful for Jesus Christ. That he came and lived a perfect life. That he came and died a death on the cross to pay for my sins. Lord, I confess my sins this morning. I acknowledge my need for you. I've fallen short in so many ways. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Lord, help me this morning. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to put my faith in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I acknowledge Jesus for who he is this morning. And Lord, because of that, today I'm making Jesus the Lord and the Savior of my life. Lord, help me to live for you, to not grow weary in doing good, to stand firm on a solid foundation even when life goes crazy. I want to live for you. That's your prayer this morning. I want you to know Jesus heard it. If that's your prayer this morning, while every head's bowed, would you just be honest enough just to slip up your hand and say, this morning, I made that commitment to Christ. Can we pray for you, worship with you? Anybody here would be honest enough to say that. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning, I'm so thankful that you are still at work in the lives of your people, that we can call out on you, that you will hear us, that you will challenge us, that you will save us. You will save us from our sin. You will set us free from the guilt and the condemnation so that we can stand holy in your sight. Lord, we We're just so thankful for what you're doing here in this church and what you're doing in the lives of his people. It's in the name of Jesus I pray this morning. Amen. So as we close out this morning, again, this is just part one. We're just getting started. Part two is next week. And so I need your help, especially the second service. If we want to get a lot of people here, we're going to have to. The first service has been packed for a while now. We've got to get this service full as well. Invite as many people as you can to come join you. We're going to close with a song that we believe, and we're going to sing it. We're going to praise God this morning. If you've got any prayer requests, any needs, if you want to just celebrate what God is doing in your life, we'll be over to the side to talk during the song, after the service. Find us, talk to us, and we'll celebrate with you. Would you guys stand as we close this morning?
In this time of desperation, and all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation we believe. We believe. Generation, when all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. Given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. We believe. So let us
Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given.
us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. We believe.
Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to come here and worship you, Lord, and worship you freely. I pray that you just help us to be courageous as we enter our mission field and as we leave this place. And I pray that you help everyone to just be bold. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a great week.